If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me now to Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. The Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, we'll read verses 14 down through 18. These have been our theme text scriptures that we've used in this teaching on being kingdom influencers. Influencers, people that influence others, hallelujah. We are supposed to be the major influence in the world, amen. And you know, the reason we need to learn how to be kingdom influencers is this. He that exerts the greatest influence has the followers. You know, people are going to follow the person who's putting out the most influence. Amen? You know, you could name off some basketball player that maybe played really good. And people say, oh, yeah, I don't know. I guess he did. But you mentioned Michael Jordan, and everybody goes, oh, yeah. Well, he's got a whole lot more influence than the other fellow did. Amen? Why? Because he did more with what he had. In other words, he became a greater influence. And you and I, we should be great influences for the kingdom of God. We should be influencers, those who are causing others to see Christ in us and follow him. And that's what the Lord Jesus is teaching here. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And he was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now notice here, that in verses 14 and 15, the Lord Jesus Christ is introducing the kingdom of God back to humanity. Amen? He came preaching the gospel. The gospel means the message, information concerning the kingdom of God. Well, the word kingdom there in the Greek just means king's domain. Did you hear me? So Jesus came preaching that the king has come to bring his domain back on the earth. Hallelujah. And notice that he said the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, what do you mean? Well, Paul, you know, the Bible's progressive revelation. That means you'll learn more as you read. Amen? And you find God doesn't just tell you everything all at once. He tells it to you over a period of teachings and writings. And so in Galatians 4, the Bible says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Amen? So Jesus came in the fullness of time. So he said, the time is fulfilled. In other words, I've come. It's time for this to happen. And he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. God's domain, the king's domain, is right here within reach. Hallelujah. You can grasp it now. You can begin to see it. It's come to this earth once again. For you see, when Adam sinned, the thing that Adam lost was the kingdom of God. God established the earth. He recreated the earth. Then he placed man in the garden and gave him dominion over all the works of his hands. Isn't that right? In other words, Adam was to rule under the authority of Almighty God and replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. Isn't that right? And he didn't leave anything out. He put everything under his hands. So you could say it like this. Adam was God's king over his kingdom on the earth at that time. But then there was a kingdom of darkness that was already on the earth, but that kingdom of darkness was held in check because the kingdom of God was here. Because when God recreated the earth, he established his kingdom and his life on the earth, and he bound Satan's demons in the pit. Amen? Now, we know the devil was here on this earth because the serpent came to Adam in the garden tempting him. Isn't that right? And so the devil came offering Adam a new deal. Adam was the king. He had authority. He had dominion. Adam, at that point in time, could have cast the devil out, kept his kingdom bound, and the kingdom of God would have continued to reign on the earth. But instead, Adam sinned, and the kingdom of God was lifted off of the earth from him because God didn't have a king to oversee his kingdom. And Satan's kingdom was released. All those demon hordes that are causing all kinds of problems were released. And the kingdom of darkness. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, Satan became the god of this world system. Amen? And so therefore demons were released. And all of a sudden, instead of love, there's hatred. Instead of getting along, there's somebody killing somebody. Instead of, you know, using your faith, you got to work by the sweat of your brow. Now the kingdom of darkness is controlling man. In fact, in Romans 5, the Bible says that sin reigned from Adam to Moses, even over all those who had not sinned. Why? Because the kingdom of darkness had free reign. But then when Moses came, God gave the law, and through those laws, man had an out to lease. He couldn't overcome the kingdom, but he could be delivered from its ability to destroy him. Amen? And if they kept the law, the Bible says they were blessed. And the law was a tutor. The law was a guide to get us to the place where then when the fullness of time would come, God would send a new king. Hallelujah. And this new king wouldn't be made of the dust of the earth. This new king would be made of the word being conceived in the womb of a virgin named Mary. And he would be born in this world, and he would become the first begotten son of God, the glory of God. Amen. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus laid aside his eternal glory, took upon himself flesh and blood and came to this world. But we've already seen in this teaching that whenever God spoke to Joseph there in Luke chapter 1 through the angel, he said, of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah. So the angel announced that Jesus would be God's king over his kingdom. And now the Lord Jesus, he comes to the earth. What's the first thing he does? He gets filled with the Holy Spirit at the age of 30, and he goes right into the wilderness to face his foe. Isn't that amazing? The devil came into the Eden to face Adam, but Jesus went into the wilderness to face the devil. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Lord was going to go in and show Mr. Devil that he will never, ever, ever be able to overcome this new king. Hallelujah. And the Lord Jesus subdued him, defeated him right there in the kingdom, and left him, you know, defeated, and Satan knowing that this is the Son of God. And then Jesus, of course, he went on the cross, praise God. And on the cross, he bore the sin of mankind. He took the curse off of us. And so therefore, he died for you and me. But thank God, on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And now he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to get excited about that. Praise God. And when God raised him from the dead in Hebrews chapter 1, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever. Hallelujah. And of thy kingdom there shall be no end, and thy scepter shall be a scepter of righteousness, and you'll rule the nations. Hallelujah. And so now the kingdom of God is at hand. Is here. You can move into it. And then the Lord tells you the way you get into the kingdom of God is through repentance and believing the message. And that what he said, repent and believe the gospel. Hallelujah. What's he talking about here? He is telling us right here that you and I need to change our mind, change our attitude. Repent means make an about face. Quit trying to do it yourself. Quit trying to live your own life. Quit trying to make a success of yourself, and turn to me with all your heart. Hallelujah. That's what repentance is. Repentance isn't just coming to the altar crying and snotting all over yourself. Amen. That's remorse. Repentance is a lifestyle changing decision that you're going to give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're going to trust him as your Lord and King. And then he says you get saved by believing the gospel. Hallelujah. Why? Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and says that we're born again, not by corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible seed of the living word of God. Amen? In other words, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus based on what the Bible says. Well, if the Lord would just appear to me, I'd give my life to him. Well, you're going to hell. Most likely. Amen, because the Bible didn't say that Jesus would appear to everybody and then they would believe on him. He said, you got to believe on me according to the gospel. Amen. And in fact, you say, well, you can't say that. I didn't say that. Abraham said that. Did you ever read over in Luke? Whenever the rich man died, he went down into hell and in torment, and lifted up his eyes and looking across the great gulf, he saw Abraham with Lazarus sitting in his bosom. And he said, let's send Lazarus back up to my brothers and family, because if one was raised from the dead, they would believe. And Abraham said, if they've got the prophets and the word, if they don't believe the prophets and the word, they ain't no help for them. Woo! Come on, don't question me unless you got your facts. Hallelujah. And so, therefore, we don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because of an experience, because of what somebody else said or somebody else did, or we saw an image. We believe because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My faith today is not on the experience. My faith today is on the fact that the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead and confess him as my Lord, I shall be saved. Amen? And so, therefore, we reach out and attain to the King. And when we receive Jesus as our Lord and King, we enter into his kingdom. Amen? We move into his kingdom. And Romans 14, 17 says the kingdom of God is not just eating and drinking, but the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. What's that mean? Whenever I make Jesus my Lord, I come into right standing with Almighty God. Guilt, condemnation, my past is wiped away, and now I have a right to approach him without a sense of inferiority or condemnation. He is my Lord. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is peace. While everybody else is wondering what they're going to do, wringing their hands and sweating bullets, you know, I'm sitting there thanking God and praising him that if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm going to make it through this. Hallelujah. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy is not just happiness. Joy is a spiritual move of God on the inside. Remember in Galatians 5 that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That means it comes up out of my spirit. That means as long as I've got God, I can choose to be happy. Amen. See, you and I are going to respond either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is going to present you a bad scenario. The kingdom of God is going to say, if God before you, who can be against you? The kingdom of the darkness is going to say, be sad and whine and cry and fuss and, you know, be defeated and feel sorry for yourself. And the kingdom of God is going to say, but the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost in you. Stir it up and get joyful. At that point in time, you have to make a decision which side you're going to operate with. If you're going to operate in the kingdom of God, you know what you do? You put a smile on your face and you say, praise the Lord. And the devil will hit you in the head and he'll say, you're a hypocrite. You know you don't feel like praising the Lord. Well, just look at the devil and say, yeah, I'm not a hypocrite. And you're right, Mr. Devil. I don't feel like praising the Lord. I'm not praising the Lord because I feel like praising the Lord. I'm not shouting praise God because I have something to shout about other than the fact that I have joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So the trouble with you, Mr. Devil, is I'm not acting like you want me to act. That's because you're no longer my king. Jesus is my king, and I'm going to follow my king. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm in the kingdom of God, so I'm going to act like I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm just going to praise God and act like it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Now, what happens when you start counting it all joy? You become an influencer in the kingdom of God. You don't believe it so? Read the 16th chapter of the book of Acts and read about Paul and Silas being thrown into the jail, in the Philippian jail there. And at midnight, what did they do? They cried and moaned and groaned and let the kingdom of darkness just overcome them. No. With their backs bleeding, their hands and feet in stocks and chains, thrown down into the inner prison, what did they do? At midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. Read it. It says, and the prisoners were listening. Who was influencing what was going on in that prison? Paul and Silas were. Why? Because they're operating in the kingdom of God. They're operating as citizens of the kingdom. They're operating in their righteousness. They're operating in God's peace. They're operating in the joy of the Lord. And instead of surrendering to the hurt and the pain and all the junk that's going on against them, they're surrendering to the Lord and the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. And as they praise the Lord, you know what happened, don't you? The Lord began to move and the power of God came into that place. He shook the jail, broke their bands, and not just theirs, but all the prisoners. Hallelujah. And when it was all said and done, because they were influencers in the kingdom of God and did what God told them to do and acted in faith, instead of it being destroy and defeat and destruction, it became God taking that which the devil meant for bad and turning it for their good and bringing forth his kingdom right there in the midst of that jail. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I don't know what you're facing right now. I don't know what the devil's attacking you with, but you walk in righteousness and you walk in peace and you choose to let joy be your strength, praise God. And what God will do is he'll shake your jail. He'll shake those chains. He'll shake those bondages. He'll deliver you out. And not only will he deliver you out, he'll deliver everybody that's watching you out. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you become the greater influence. And when people see it happening for you, they're going to say, how do you do that? And you're going to tell them, Jesus is my Lord and my strength, and he's the one that got me through this thing. Hallelujah. Come on, church. You say, well, you know, but I, Paul and Silas still had, you know, the places on them. Sure they did. The jailer had to take them back to his house and clean them up. We're going to have some battle scars. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have some battle scars. But you know what you do with those battle scars? Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where the devil tried to get me once. Here's another one where he tried to get me. See my back here? That's where they tried to get me in Philippi. And this one over here, that's when they threw me in the water. And this one over here, that's when God delivered me out of the jaw of the mouth of the lions. Come on, folks. Every scar becomes a mark of victory, a place of influence, a place where you chose to let Jesus be Lord and walk in the kingdom of God. And you changed it around. So don't ever walk around in guilt or condemnation because you've got scars in your life. You wear them as a badge of honor to give God the glory. The devil tried to kill me. The devil tried to destroy me. He tried to bring me down, but God brought me out. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Kingdom influencers. Those who choose to live this thing and walk this thing and let God be God. Come on. I will not be defeated. I will not be destroyed by this test because greater is he that's in me, and I'm going to act like he's in me. Come on. God is raising us up to be his kingdom influencers in whatever situation you're in, whatever you're facing today. I choose to be what God would have me to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody getting happy about this? Come on. It is time for us to rise up and let the world see that we are serving the King. Hallelujah. And we are part of his kingdom and we walk in his kingdom power. Hallelujah. And now listen to me, folks. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Somebody says, is it easy? No, but it is possible. And I would rather have possible than easy. Did you hear me? Somebody says, is that possible? It's possible. Hallelujah. But you got to make a decision. What are you going to do? How are you going to let it affect you? How are you going to live? Because we're in a world right now where there is a battle of who gets to be the influencers. In your life, there's a battle as to who's going to be the influence in your life. And you and I have to choose that Jesus will be my influence. He will be the one who leads me, and I will be an influencer for him. Amen? Hallelujah. No matter how long it takes, no matter what I'm going through, Jesus will be glorified in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's read on. He says down here in verse 17, he says, then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now there are three things that we brought out in this verse we want to look at real quickly in the Amplified. It reads it like this. And Jesus said to them, come after me and be my disciples, and I will make you to become fishers of men. See, there are three decisions that you're going to make if you're going to be a kingdom influencer. Number one, you have to make a decision. You're going to come after Jesus. You're going to pursue the Lord. You're going to make him Lord of your life. You're going to choose the Jesus life. Amen. I'm coming after him. I'm going to do what it takes to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what I have to lay down. I don't have to what I give up. You know, when he asked Simon, Peter, and Andrew to do that, they were fishermen. They immediately, the Bible says in the next verse, laid down their nets and followed Jesus. I'm willing to lay down everything that's a hindrance in my life. Everything that is not good in my life, everything that the world's trying to offer me so that I can pursue Jesus with everything within me. We have to choose Jesus. You have to choose to follow him, to come after him. And if he didn't say, come after me, what's he mean? You have to make a choice here. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to live after? Who are you going to begin to make your example? You have to choose. I choose Jesus. I choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I choose to do what he's telling me to do. No, the second thing he said, and be my disciple. We've already brought out, a disciple is a learner and follower of the teachings of the leader. To be an imitator of your teacher. And so Jesus is saying, learn of me, follow me, learn to do it my way, learn to live your life the way I live it, learn to act like I would act, learn to deal with problems like I deal with problems, learn to treat people like I treat people, learn how to trust God like I trust God. And in all things that you're doing, learn of me and follow me. You know what Jesus told the Jews over in John chapter 8, whenever they believed on him there around verses 31, 32, he said this, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. You know what he was saying? He's saying the way we become disciples is we get in his word, and that word becomes the truth that we live by. We live the truth. We're not just hearers of the word, we're doers of the word. We act on the word. And you know what's great about that? The word sets us free. It shows us who we are. It shows us how to deal with things. And we become followers of Jesus Christ and disciples that the world sees who we belong to. Praise God. And over in 1 John 5, he says over there that the love of God is that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not hard. Amen. You know what's hard? Sin is hard. Come on. Why? Because the wages or the earnings of sin is death. The Bible says over in Proverbs, the way of the transgressor is hard. I mean, it's hard to live in sin. It really is. You ever notice how hard it is to be a liar? Once you get started, you can't stop because you tell a lie. And then somebody comes up and you tell a lie about that lie. And then you get another lie. And the first thing you know, you're running around confused yourself because you don't know what the original lie was. And the trouble with letting that operate in your life is this. The Bible says, be sure and know this, your sin will find you out. Somebody's going to come along one day and realize and let you know you're lying. It's going to be tough. You know, it's tough. It's hard to hate. It really is. You're just miserable all the time, mad. It's sad. This country right now is so mad. And allowing the kingdom of darkness to determine its attitudes and actions, we shouldn't be allowing that. It's hard. I mean, you're constantly getting in trouble, constantly, you know, miserable, constantly. I'd much rather be controlled and led by the Spirit of God and walk in God's kingdom, do it His way. Amen? Because that truth sets you free. The world puts you in bondage. And I'd rather be free than bound. Amen? And then the third thing is this. He says, once you've made a decision to commit your whole life to Him, then the Bible says He wants to make you a fisherman or an influencer in the kingdom. In other words, it's not now all about me. See, you've not really truly become a disciple of Jesus if it's still all about you. And we'll say it again because we're starting to move over to some new stuff. Everybody looked at me and said, wait a minute. I'll say it again. You've not really become a disciple yet, and as long as it's all about you. You're still coming after Him. But when you become a disciple, you are free. And now since you are free, the Lord wants to use you to influence others to help them get free. Amen? Because, see, the third part of this walk of being influencers is it's not about me building my following or me building my life or me building my blessings. It's about me now taking what the Lord has given me and using it to influence others to live for Him. To encourage others to come out of their hurts and their pains and their bondages. See, a fisher of men, that means you put out the bait, but the fish have to take it. Amen? There's a difference in fishing and hunting. The church had real good motives, but terrible methods. Because what we did is we came in and said, follow me, be my disciple, and I'll make you hunters of men. And so we loaded our guns up with our tracks and our, you know, and went out and hunted them. Chased them down the street. Backed them in the corners. And preached to them, turn or burn, you heathen. And we shot them all full of holes, and all they did was walk off with buckshot. Amen. But you see, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you influence. In other words, the only way a fisherman catches a fish is if he's got the right bait and entices the fish to take the bait. But even if he takes the bait, he's still got a really man. That means you have to know more than just baiting a hook and throwing it out in the water. You have to learn how to dangle the hook. You have to learn how to hook it in. Then you have to learn how to reel it in, take it out, and then bring it in and put it on the stringer. Why? Because you don't want it at that point turn like loose. And so the Lord said, I'll make you influence. In other words, your lifestyle and how you live will begin to influence people around you. And I'll use you to cause them to get, I might want to try that. Are you listening to me? And so our life becomes a witness. Our how we live becomes a witness. How we treat people becomes a witness. How we do things on the job becomes our witness. Amen? See, there are two key principles that in the kingdom that make up the kingdom of Christ. And that is this, having Christ's nature and having Christ's rules. Did you hear me? Those are the two key kingdom principles that are going to make you a fisher of men, an influencer in God's kingdom. That is this: you have to have Christ's nature, and you have to operate in Christ's rules. Jesus' nature, Jesus' rules. Amen? You have to follow the King, and you have to do it like He wants it done. Those are the two foundational principles of the kingdom of God. And here's the thing. If you don't have Christ's nature, the rules will never work in your life. That's why Jesus said, come after me and be my disciple. Why? You have to have the nature of Christ in you before you can operate the rules of Christ in your life. Amen. Let me give you an illustration real quick. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about this. People get in a crisis. They don't live for the Lord. They don't come to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't study it. They don't ever use their faith for anything until they have a problem. Then all of a sudden, they're all in to get their faith out there, and they can't figure out why they didn't get a miracle or breakthrough. Well, how can you expect a rule? Now, there are times, folks, listen, we serve such a wonderful, loving, kind God that, you know, just like He stirred the waters there and the man, you know, the first one got in, got a miracle. Amen. There are times, even in our worst, help me, ignorance, the Lord is still good to us. Amen. But the reason it doesn't happen all the time, it's because we haven't taken time to develop the nature of Christ in us. We only want His rules. We only want His blessings. We only want to see His results. But you see, to have the kingdom of God operating in your life, be an influencer, you have to first have the nature of Christ. Then you can operate in the rules of Christ. They'll work in your life. That's why the first two parts of verse 17 of Mark chapter 1 is, come after me and be my disciple. Come after me, develop my nature in your life, be like me, live like me, think like me, learn my word, learn who I am, learn how to live your life under my influence, and then my rules will begin to operate in your life so you can influence others. And you can be a blessing to others. And so that's what the Lord is talking to us. He's talking to us now. He's saying, I want you to learn how to do these things so that you can be overcomers in this life, so that you can influence in life, and you can bring others to Christ. Amen? Now look in Ephesians chapter 2 real quickly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. See, we'll shout some, then we'll get quiet because I'm a preacher. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what's a preacher? Well, sometimes I teach, sometimes I preach, and sometimes they kind of flow together and I preach. Hallelujah. Amen. But in Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to see verses 8, 9, and 10. Look what the Lord says through the Apostle Paul. See, we're talking about being influencers for God. He says in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Notice that. He said, you got saved because you believed on the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. You couldn't get it by keeping the law. You couldn't get it by working the works. You couldn't do it by being good. You just simply by faith had to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. Amen? And you got saved by God's grace. God saved you in spite of you. Amen? Amen. Every one of us have the same testimony. Somebody come, but what's your background? See, they want to know if you was Baptist or Methodist or whatever. When they look at you, say, "What was you?" They say, "What's your background?" Look at them, say, "Sinner, just like yours. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. I was a sinner." Amen. And you see, it's God's grace that saved us all. When we didn't deserve it, He reached down and touched our life anyway. Isn't that good? God loved us. Paul says, even while we were sinners, God released His love to us and saved us and brought us to Himself. Hallelujah. But He doesn't stop there. Notice in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, that's somewhat clear, but let's read it in the Amplified, and it really brings it out. It says, for we are God's own handiwork. In other words, God took personal time for each one of us and put His hands to us to save us and bring us to Himself. We are His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Why did God bring us into this? Why did God save us? Why did God reach down with His personal hand and work in us? He says this, that we may do those good works which God predestined and planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Notice, He's got a life for you, and He calls it a good life. I want to get in God's good life. Amen. And you know, I looked up the word works there, and it means to work as an effort or occupation. And so what the Lord is saying here is this. He says, I saved you for a purpose. I reached out with my own hands and I formed you in a unique way. And when I formed you in a unique way, I formed you with in my mind a plan for your life and a purpose for your life and a calling for your life and a function for your life and a work for your life. I created you with certain abilities and talents and skills and personalities and made you unique to everybody else and blended you into my kingdom. Why? Because God had something special for you to do. Amen. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times when you talk about that, people immediately think, well, is that to preach? Is that to sing? Is that this? Is that? No, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4 now, verse 1. I want you to see something here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Well, the King James says, walk worthy of the vocation. The Greek word here says, walk worthy of God's invitation. You know what that means? That means that you and I now have been invited by the Lord Himself to walk in a vocation that will glorify Him and be an influence of Him into the world. Amen. Now, here's what we think. Oh, well, I don't know what I'm called. Am I called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, singer, children? No. Listen, vocation here doesn't necessarily mean something in a church service. He is inviting you to represent Him in your life. And what He is saying is this, come after me. Develop my nature in you. Learn of me, be like me, get my truth in you. Learn how to act like me because I've invited you to follow me and now I want to place you in position where you can be an influencer in the world for the kingdom of God. You know, the teachers that work in our public school systems, our children's leaders and youth leaders, what great influence can they bring by bringing prayer? You don't have to go in and preach to the school. You just go in and to conduct your class under the godly character and the outlines that are lined out in the principles of Christ. You don't ever have to mention Jesus to them and they'll know that Jesus is your Lord. What about businessmen? I mean, you know, you're out here, praise God, being apostles. You're spreading the goods. Hallelujah. And you're bringing people in. How about, you know, these people out here that are journalists or these people out here in sales, you're evangelists and prophets. Hallelujah. Because you're out here taking the principles of the kingdom and bringing them in to your work environment. See, we are to take God's invitation and we're to take His kingdom and make that kingdom the influence in our home, in our family, on the job. Are you listening to me? In our sphere of influence. In other words, I'm to bring the kingdom of God into my world. Oh, it kind of changes it. I can hear those old rusty gears starting to work upstairs. Hallelujah. I never thought about that. Do you ever thought that maybe the reason you can do what you're doing and you do it well is because God gifted you and graced you and gave you the ability to do that? You ever thought that maybe the reason He did that for you was not just so you could make a good living, but so that you could be an influence at that place that you're at for Him and bring His kingdom influence into that realm? Apple comes out with a phone, and within before they can get it out, it's all over the world because they influenced the world with it. They sold that to the world. And we come in and we think that we're supposed to just come to church on Sunday mornings and that's it. But you see, that's not it, folks, because in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the early church, every day, they were witnessing, they were working, they were fellowshipping, they were encouraging each other. They lived this thing and they took the kingdom influence right out into the public square. They took it out into their jobs. They took it out to their friends. They took it out to wherever they was at and they lived this thing and they let Jesus, listen to me, why should you be in on a job and you should go into a place and there's somebody over there that's full of the devil cussing and telling dirty jokes and he's the major influence of what the atmosphere of that house is. Why don't you go in there and bind that devil and start talking about the good things that God's doing in your life and become the greater influence in that place and bring the presence of God into that place instead of the presence of the devil? Jesus would walk into a situation where they hated Him and wanted to kill Him, and He would just turn it all around and walk out. And when He walked out, 1,000 people would follow Him. Amen. And if they still wanted to be full of the devil, he's let them be full of the devil. But he didn't let them control the atmosphere that he was in. And you don't have to say anything. I didn't know all this stuff back when I first got saved. But I can remember, I'd recommitted my life to Christ and was serious for God. I'm following the Lord. And I can remember going into, this is before Bonnie and I got married. I was at East Tennessee State. It was spring football. And I just really made a strong commitment to the Lord that spring, and I was going to church down there, and I can remember going into the locker room, and there's three or four guys that I'd hang out with, and they'd been down, and I won't call the place out, but they'd been down to a local bar, and I'd been there a couple times with them, unfortunately, but you know, before. And so I walked over there, and they're standing there talking about something, telling us all the stuff, and some of the things went on, and how much they drank, and all the stuff, and they're laughing. And I heard it, and I thought, well, I don't want to get in on that conversation. I didn't say anything, didn't condemn them, didn't look at them, didn't try to put them down, didn't try to preach to them. I just said, you know what, that's not me anymore. And I turned and walked over and went over to my locker. Just a couple of minutes, they broke up. And one of them comes over to me and says, hey, Huffman. I said, what? He says, you too good to talk to us now? I said, what are you talking about? I didn't try to cause any problems, but in my heart, I'd taken a stand for the kingdom of God. I'm not going to bend that. I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, you know, we was over talking. I said, well, and he says, and you know, you've been here before with us. I said, yeah, I have, but I don't go there anymore because Jesus is my Lord, and I don't have to have that anymore, and I'm not going to stand there now that you bring it up and listen to all that smut and junk that you're talking about, because my ears have tuned into something much better, and I'm living for God now. And he just looked at me and said, oh, and he turned and walked off. Somebody said, boy, I bet you lost a friend. No, during that next year, my senior year, we led 2/3 of our football team to the Lord, me and one other guy, because we took a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We turned that thing around. When I went to Ferrum Junior College, there was no black and white issue. We were teammates. We were buddies. In fact, when I went to East Tennessee State, my roommate was a black guy that I played football with at Ferrum. We both went there on scholarship, and we wanted to room together because we were best friends. And they called us salt and pepper. And I first went there, and all the black athletes stayed over here, and all the white athletes over here. But by the time we were done, we were all eating together, praise God, and fellowshipping together because we'd won each other to the Lord, and we'd become a team. And we realized we're not going to let the world separate us, and the kingdom of God became the greater influence on that team. Hallelujah. And we didn't just preach at them all the time. We practiced it, and we loved them, and we shared things. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we don't have to go out here and preach messages to people. We are the message. Oh, you didn't hear me. We are the message. You are the bait. Jesus is the fisherman, and you're the one he's put on the hook, and it's you out there waiting and dangling, trying to entice the fish to come so Jesus can reel them in, and then he's going to make them fishermen. Hallelujah. And he's called us and anointed us, but we have to be followers of Jesus. Well, you have to have his nature before you can operate his rules. Because his nature in you causes his rules to work through you. And you become a kingdom influencer. Do I have this? Can I do this? Well, let's read verses 7 and 8 real quick and we'll close this. Look what he says. But to each one of us, that means everyone that's been invited, that means every believer. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Hallelujah. He's given me a gift and talent, ability. He's given me something that I can use in my life that will be a blessing and release his kingdom in my sphere of influence. And then he says down here in verse 8, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to man. You know what that means? God has invited you to be involved in his kingdom. He's given you gifts, talents, and abilities, and he gives you the grace to operate them. How am I going to do that, Pastor? I'm going to follow Jesus with all of my heart and make his nature my nature. I'm going to be his disciple. I'm going to lend. I'm not going to be ashamed of him. I'm going to be an influencer. I'm going to stand up for the kingdom of God and let people see that Jesus is my Lord. I'm not going to put anybody down. I'm not going to get caught up in hatred. I'm not going to make you feel bad, but I'm still not going to sit there and let you cuss me. I'm not going to let you tell me dirty jokes. I'm not going to let you dominate the atmosphere that I'm in. Amen? While I'm preaching right now, many of you are sitting there thinking, God, where I'm at, you've put me there. You've given me. And all the things I've gone through can be used, not to my detriment, but to your glory. Because I've been through it. And the devil tried to stop me, but I'm sitting here at New Life on Sunday morning, which means I've made it through it. Hallelujah. And if I haven't made it, I'm well on my way. Because if I wasn't on my way, I wouldn't be here this morning. Hallelujah. And God, instead of being condemned over this stuff, I'm going to wear my scars proudly. Even if I'm the one that caused it, you still were the one that got me out of it. Hallelujah. And there are people that are going to make mistakes, but you get them out of their mistakes, and I can influence them in their struggle to come to you. And I can be an influencer of the kingdom of God. Amen. What's our purpose? Philippians 3:12 says in in the Amplified, not that I have now attained. In other words, you haven't gotten there yet, this ideal, or have already been made perfect. We're not. But this is what he says. I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own work. Jesus saved you for a purpose. He gave you natural talents and abilities for a purpose. And you need to seek his purpose, find your place, and then be a light shining in the darkness. Because this gospel has to be taken out of this room, out into the world. And it's us that are going to do it. Amen?